Well, good morning to all of you that I have not said good morning to yet.
Good morning.
So good to see you. You get better looking every week. I don't know if your mirror told you that this morning, but you look great coming in from the rain. Our family's been praying for snow, so the rain here is probably our fault. I'm sorry, but we would like to go skiing a few more times, and so it's our fault. But I'd like us first to begin with praying for in three areas. And so if you would stand with me, I want us to pray for the person who's standing next to us. I want to pray for the churches in our community, and I want you to pray for me as well. So first, just begin by just praying silently or out loud, however you're comfortable. Just for the person to your left and right, Father, we just pray that you would give the person standing next to me, sitting next to me, a peace, Lord, that they would receive all that you have for them, Lord. I pray that your word would speak to them in a special way where they feel seen and known by you, God. Bless them, give them peace, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Now pray for a church in our community, one that maybe comes to mind. Just pray for a specific church. It can be a church that you know or one that you just drive by. Father, at this time, I just pray for St. Lawrence Anglican Church, Lord. I just pray that you would be with them, watch over them, Lord. Just be with their congregation this morning as they meet and gather. I pray that your presence would be felt in that place. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And take a moment to pray for me that I would simply be a conduit for God's word to flow through. Pray that obstacles or hindrances would be removed. Pray that I would remember only what the Lord wants me to remember. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Oh, you're cheering already just for the pre-service prayer. The pre-sermon prayer. This is going to be good. Well, we are in a series on the book of Hebrews, but as part of the series, we also are tracking through a book written many, many years ago from A.W. Tozer called Experiencing the Presence of God. And we actually have questions that we are releasing on every Tuesday after the Sunday service. And so you can access those questions. We have a QR code here that you can take a picture of. If you don't know what a QR code is, you should just go to our website nsfc.ca, and you can find questions from last week's message, or this Tuesday we'll be releasing new questions. But what we want to do as a church is we want to be unified moving forward. Not just Sunday to Sunday, but also in between. And so you can download the book for free. It's a free PDF. We also have a link on our website, or you can buy the book, Experiencing the Presence of God by A.W. Tozer. How many of you have been reading? That's all right. I'm going to do it every week, so you next week will want to have your hand raised. This is intentional shaming right now. How many of you put your hand way up if you started reading? I want everyone to see your hand. Thank you. Look at the seven people. Look at them. Great job. Okay, that's my only teacher moment for the day. But you have questions. We really feel, though, as a church community, that to be a community takes unity. Right? And so unity is that we move in the same direction together. And so we're beginning this in the book of Hebrews and through the book that Tozer wrote. And so we'll continue with that today. So today, my message is, and I love this because somebody already told me this morning, I have no idea what you're talking about. Which was part of the intention of the title. The title is Wandering, Drifting, and a Sense of Wonder. Wandering, Drifting, and a Sense of Wonder. wandering in our life can lead to drifting away from God, or it can lead to a gift of wonder. My question this morning that I want us to answer for ourselves is, how do I change the posture of my heart from drifting away to following God, to moving toward Him? How do I posture my heart? Because in this room, there's going to be various reactions already this morning, and there'll be various reactions throughout my message and to the service. There's a posture in our hearts that leads to a drifting away, a kind of callousness, a hardness, ignoring, or there's a moving toward. And both will happen this morning right here. Experiencing the presence of God is not always easy. How many of you have had seasons when it's been difficult to sense God's presence? Anyone with me? Yes? We go through seasons where there seem to be hindrances that keep us from God's presence. These hindrances can be busyness, distractions, other desires. These hindrances could be discouragement, guilt, shame, a feeling that I'm not worthy to be in God's presence. And what can happen with these hindrances is these hindrances can just cause us to drift away from God. And this drifting away isn't always intentional. It just sort of happens. Wandering can lead to relational drift. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. We don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. If you'd like a little bit more of an introduction to the book of Hebrews, you can listen to last week's message. But we don't know who wrote Hebrews. But we know that it's someone who spent a lot of time with Paul, listened to Paul, and the theology is very similar. But the writer says, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. Again, this morning, some of you will be tempted to, and some of you will succumb to the temptation of drifting away during my sermon. And I will not judge you. But drifting away can happen when we lose focus. Have you ever been on a hike and gotten lost in the middle of the woods? Have you ever been on a walk and you got lost? Every time I go to the mall, I get lost. I have this really painful difficulty with, I enter the same doors every time at the mall. I enter where the Starbucks and the food court is, not because I eat in the food court, but because I did that a long time ago and I've done it ever since. I walk into the mall, I smell the food from the food court, and I get disoriented. I wander in, I know where the Apple store is for sure. But as for everything else, I don't know where it is. Sport Check, I go to the same stores too, and I just get lost. I get disoriented. Why do I get disoriented? Probably because my brain is not operating at full capacity. But the other reason is that I'm not focusing. I get distracted easily. I see the video game store, I see the clothing store, I see this, I smell pretzels, I do this. And the mall is like my brain. I go in and I get disoriented and I get distracted. And what happens when we get distracted is we lose focus. And when we lose focus, we can just slowly drift away. The writer here is saying, pay careful attention or you will drift away. There's a story in 2021 of 59 migrants that were leaving Mauritania, the country on Western Africa. It's right on the water there. And they got into a boat and they were trying to get to the Canary Islands. They were leaving Mauritania and they were heading north toward the Canary Islands. But something happened and they lost their direction in this boat. They drifted out to sea. They lost all food, all water, they lost fuel, and they just began to drift. 500 kilometers off the coast, a Spanish Air Force helicopter happened to be flying along this pathway and saw this boat. They drifted for 22 days. Out of the 59 people, only 3 people survived. They tell a story. They interviewed this 23-year-old young woman and they asked her about her account. She says they were just burying people at sea. They had no water. They were trying to drink seawater. They had no food. And this is what she said. She said, in the beginning, we prayed a lot. But by the end, we no longer prayed. See, in the beginning of our drifting, we pray. We want to come back. But as we continue to drift, as we continue to ignore, as we continue to become more and more detached from God's word and from spiritual disciplines, eventually we just don't even pray anymore. We become discouraged by the distance. Pay careful attention so that you do not drift away. Do you know how drifting happens? Drifting happens by inaction. Drifting happens by ignoring. Drifting is the natural result of not paying attention. I remember when Sonia and I were just walking, some might call it hiking, there were some hills involved. We were like in North Coquitlam. And we were, it was like right here, like 2 minutes down the road, up near the falls there. And I'm not a big hiker, as you can tell, because if I did, I would have known the name of those falls. I think they're Cedar Falls, I'm not sure. But we went up into the hills, and we had, I think it was it Danae? What's that? There was 3 kids? Oh my gosh. We had 3 children. Really? I only remember 1. See, men, we really can only concentrate on 1 thing at a time. I know, mall analogy, kids. You can see what it's like to be married to me, right? Okay, so we had 3 kids, and we got totally lost. We got totally lost in these hills. Why? Because I don't know where I'm going. But just a lack of paying attention, off the track, off the trail. It was scary, so scary, I forgot I had 2 more kids. I mean, that's how scary it was. I don't even know how we got out of there. It wasn't like a helicopter rescue or anything. I think we actually just wandered onto the road. And that's the thing about wandering versus drifting. See, wandering can lead to drifting, but wandering can also lead to a sense of wonder. Moses writes in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 to 5, be careful to follow. Everyone say follow.
Follow.
Every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. Be careful to follow every command. Remember how the Lord led you in the wilderness these 40 years because he was testing your heart. God allows us to wonder because he tests our heart. He gives us the free will to choose which direction we're going to go in. He gives us the free will to drift if we want to. And while we're drifting and while we're wandering and while we're walking through a wilderness season, he is testing our heart. Sometimes we wonder, why can't I hear God's voice? God, where are you? Why aren't you close? God doesn't owe us anything. God doesn't owe us an explanation. If you're enduring a wilderness season, endure. He's testing your heart. If you're going through a season where you feel like you're wandering and not hearing his voice, he's testing your heart. He doesn't owe us an explanation for anything. That hurts. I know. Drifting is a result of inaction. Following is the result of paying attention. Relational drift can happen in any relationship that we're in. Relational drift is a slow distancing of our affection, our adoration, our attention, our desires for another person. Relational drift can happen in a friendship. Relational drift can happen between a husband and a wife. Slowly over time, there's this slow distancing that happens. And how does that distance happen? That distance happens through inaction. We once talked, we stopped talking. We once prayed together, we stopped praying together. We once went out on dates together, we stopped doing that. We used to celebrate Valentine's Day, we just don't do that anymore. And through this inaction, through this neglect, we can slowly drift away. This is called relational drift. Valentine's Day is this week, everybody. You're welcome. It's on Wednesday, too, February 14th. Men, it's always on the same day of the year, February 14th. But go on the 13th. Less busy, see? Less busy. And parents' night out, exactly. You can drop your kids at the church and go for a date night, and you could still make reservations probably today. You're welcome. Relational drift can happen in any relationship. Let's look at our relationship with God for a moment. In the beginning of our relationship with God, we were on fire. We're reading the Bible, we're memorizing, we're soaking it all in. We pray, we go to church, we're going to everything we possibly can. We're a part of the discipleship nights, we're going to life group, we're going to women's breakfasts, we're going to men's events, we're doing everything we possibly can. Not that you can go to both of those. But you're going to everything you possibly can. But over time, we stop investing. I've had people actually say to me that, yeah, I used to do those things when I was younger, but I'm just so mature, you know? I'm just so, just me and God are just, we're good. Like, I don't need this, some of the convicting messages on these sins and those sins, Joel. Like, it's just, I'm kind of past all that. Wow. Like, that's scary to be in that place. You've drifted. You've drifted. You're forgetting the fact that it's an ongoing relationship. God desires an ongoing relationship with us. And what happens over time is we can just become hardened. Take a moment right now to inventory your spiritual posture to the Lord. Am I drifting away, or am I moving toward you, God? Now, you've all come to church this morning, so that's a really good step. You're like, Joel, but we're here. Like, you're not talking to us, are you? Yeah, I am, tomorrow morning on Monday. Do you wake up? Throughout your day, do you think about the Lord? Do you think about his goodness? Do you turn your heart toward him? I'm not saying you have to wake up and have 3 hours in the Bible and in prayer and in worship. I'm just saying, do you turn toward him? See, throughout the day, we have opportunities to turn toward him or ignore and drift. Am I moving away, drifting, through ignoring and inattention, distraction, discouragement, guilt, or am I moving toward him? Tozer says this in chapter 2. He says the most dangerous situation facing a Christian today is what he refers to as catarizing of the conscience. That means a seared conscience. And he says this, this conscience, a seared conscience, makes a person insensitive or callous to the world around them. A person experiences deadening of feelings toward morals. Quite simply, this moral insensibility is a lack of feeling. He goes on to say that this searing of the conscience hurts at first, but after it heals over, a person has no feeling there and can easily fall into the same trap again without the same moral sensitivity. He wrote this 75 years ago in 1959. What sometimes happens, and what is happening in the world around us, is the world is searing our conscience. We are less convicted by the things we were once convicted about. We keep adjusting the line of morality and ethics and all of these things, and we drift into a place where we're just like a world that doesn't follow Jesus. And we're actually callous to it. It doesn't even affect us anymore. Some of the things that we watch, we soak in, we watch on Netflix, we watch in social media, we're engaged in. I'm talking to myself here too. We watch them like there's no effect. Look at the stuff that we're dealing with our children, with the sexual immorality that exists in this world. It's a seared conscience. Nobody even talks about premarital sex anymore like it's wrong. It's just accepted. It's a seared conscience. The shows we watch, the conversations we have. I'm not saying be religious. What I'm saying is we're drifting. It's a callousness. It's in me. And it's in all of you. How do we get back, Lord, to this place of holiness and reverence and moral sensitivity. What I believe the Lord has to do is he has to cut where has become calloused. Shave down, grind away. Lord, what is in me that is offensive? What is in me that needs to change? What is in me that is drifting from you? Maybe it's an area of my life, not my whole life. I'm doing good in these areas, but maybe there's one area that's just drifting slowly from you. I'm inviting you this morning to shift from drifting away toward God. You encouraged yet? You know I love you, right? All of you, even the ones I haven't met yet. Joining online. I love you too, even though you're not here. But a seared conscience is a very dangerous place to be. I was watching a show this week and it just wasn't good for me. It was just not feeding me. Wasn't feeding my spirit man. I became strangely aware that I shouldn't be watching this. It's not feeding. You see, whatever appetite you feed will lead. Pay careful attention, the writer of Hebrews says. Follow every command, Moses wrote, and you'll enter the land. How many of you want to enter the promised land that God has for you? How many of us want to enter into all the goodness and blessing that God has for us? It comes with obedience. You cannot go your own way and end up in the place God is leading you. If you go your own way and slowly drift, God may be going in a different direction. No, the command of Moses is for us today. It is not just descriptive, it is prescriptive. It is for us prescribed to the church today. Where you follow, where you eat, wherever you feed will lead. To get to the destination that God has for you is to follow Jesus there. You can't follow desires every which way they blow and end up where God wants you to be. He's created you for partnership with him. And so this wandering, this drifting, there is another way. It can lead to wonder. Wonder. What is wonder? Wonder is the awesome awareness of the mystery of God's presence. That's how I'm going to use it this morning. God is wonderful. He is awesome. He's beyond. He is beyond what we can ever comprehend. And sometimes what happens in our life is we lose the sense of wonder. We lose the sense that God is majestic and beyond anything we could ever imagine. And we turn him into something else, something understandable. Something we can comprehend, something we can put in a box, something we can contain in theology. And he loses the someoneness of relationship because he becomes something of religion. And he says that we should run after with a curiosity and a childlike faith, with a sense of wonder, the mysteries, which I'm going to read about in Hebrews 2, verse 4. The writer said, God also testified to it. What is it? It is salvation. The salvation spoken of in verses 1 to 3. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. The word testified here actually means certified. Leave that verse up for a moment. The word testified is the word certified, verse 4. And so what it's saying is God certified salvation. He testified to it. In other words, he showed us how powerful it is. And how did he do this? By signs, wonders, and various miracles and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are the things I'm chalking up as wonder, the mysteries of God. Wonder is such a beautiful word. It's a hopeful birth of faith in a person's life. It's getting caught up in the awe of God in nature. It's being strangely aware of his presence. It's a mystery. It causes us to wonder. It's a vastness beyond our human comprehension. It's the infiniteness of who God is. This is wonder. I remember a few weeks ago now, and I shared this on a Sunday night, but I'm going to share it again. I took the kids skiing. We went to Seymour, and we put the kids in lessons because I have 5 children. And I don't know if you've ever tried to take 5 children, most of which don't know how to ski, skiing for the first time. Any of you try that? If you raise your hand, you're probably a ski instructor. So we put our kids in lessons, and most of the kids were doing well. But Joshua was having a really hard time with it. Now, leading up to this day, you have to realize the kids are talking about skiing so much, like praying for snow, wanting to go skiing, talking about skiing, imagining in their minds what it'll be like to do a 360 off of a jump and land it on day 1 of skiing. Like they were caught up with a sense of wonder. They could just imagine that they're just going to put on these skis, they're going to go up on the lift, and they're going to be doing moguls, like day 1, right? Like through the glades, like through the trees. Like this is what you imagine when you haven't done something for the first time, and you're quite excited about it. And Joshua was definitely hyping this thing up to be unbelievable because he's seen it on Paw Patrol. And it's just effortless the way these dogs can go down the mountain. So he's pumped, excited, like we put the skis on. The instructor comes, and they're going to practice now just stepping, like side to side. And then they're going to practice stepping up the hill, side to side. He begins to notice that the other kids are further ahead than him. And wonder is replaced with discouragement. He can't quite get it. So he takes off his skis, he goes and he literally starts digging a hole, and he like buried himself in there. So I went to do a couple runs myself, and I came back to find 4 kids and 1 child somewhere else. So I went up to him and I'm like, what is it, buddy? You know, like I'm now interrupting the lesson. This is great, right? Helicopter parenting. What is it, buddy? I just can't do it. I can't do it. I'm like, well, just get up. We'll do it together. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. Blah, 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 blah. I can't do it. Half an hour later, he's still not doing it. We're paying for this lesson. I look at her and I'm like, refund? No refund. She looks at me like, he's your kid. The But about an hour went by, he's still not getting it. And then I'm like, we're not gonna allow this to be our day. So I took my own snowboard off, you know, I knelt down, had this beautiful father moment with him. I said, little buddy, this is as a parent, you know, in the back of your mind, you're seething, right, with anger that you just wasted all this money, right? But you get down and you're like, God, my character is greater than this. So I said, hey, little buddy, you think you could try just one more time? You know, and you smile at them, give them your most gracious. And I said, I'll do it with you, buddy. So he put on his, you know, put his skis back on, and I proceeded to, I had snowboard boots on, and I proceeded to run up and down a mountain on foot, teaching him how to ski. And the most amazing thing happened. A, it somehow worked. B, there's also videos of me tackling him because I thought he was going to hit a tree. And about an hour into my teaching him, I'm like taking a break and I'm like, I'm going to go do a run myself. So I get on the little magic carpet at Seymour that's undercover. Have you seen this thing? It's like ground that moves undercover. I'm like, this isn't even skiing. Like, where's the rope toe to really teach you how to learn? Like, so I'm on this magic carpet going back up, and I see Joshua, the one I just taught to ski, literally like tucked, like skiing full speed down the hill, somehow in control. And this was a great picture for me, because I think what happens with wonder is we begin in wonder, but through unanswered prayer in our way, through discouragement, through painful experiences, through not quite, it not being what we thought it was going to be, we begin our relationship with God with a sense of wonder, and over time, it kind of grinds away from us. And what happens is as discouragement sets in, for whatever that reason might be, we lose that sense of wonder, and we just want to dig a hole and climb in it. And I believe that God's heart for you this morning, for all of us this morning, is that we would recapture the sense of wonder, the mystery of God. Here at Northside, we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We believe that God still speaks, and God still heals, God still saves, God still delivers. In the same way today that he did thousands of years ago. We don't believe that God changes, and we're called the body of Christ, which means the body of Christ shouldn't be different from the head. We see a pattern in the early church of signs and wonders. I'll give you a few. Acts chapter 2, verse 43. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. See, wonders cause you to wonder. Wonders capture the wonder inside all of us. Acts chapter 6, verse 8. Now Stephen, a man full of grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. 1 Corinthians 14:1, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Eagerly desire means to run after with all intensity. The word zelu is actually such a strong word. It's to covet. Everywhere else in the Bible, this word is used negatively, and here it's used to, that's how much and how strong you should run after the spiritual gifts. We as a church believe in the spiritual gifts. Romans chapter 15, verse 19, I'll just read that one. By the power of signs and wonders through the power of the Spirit of God. Paul says, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. by power, signs and wonders and miracles, Paul says, I have fully declared the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a church, we will preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ. We will not be a church that preaches two-thirds of the gospel. Many churches preach on the Father, the Son, but not the Holy Spirit. They treat Holy Spirit like he's some weird uncle. And it's grieving God. So we're going to be a three-thirds full gospel preaching church. And I believe God wants to restore your sense of wonder around the mysteries of him. I'll invite the worship team to come. I want to pray for us all in this moment, in this time, in this space. Because I really felt that the Lord wanted to bring us from a place of drifting, a place of callousness, a place of hardness, a place of ignoring, whatever the word is that you feel describes areas of your life with God. Or maybe you've never met him. You've never had a personal relationship with him. Maybe you're like wandering aimlessly through life, just a constant state of drifting. I felt strongly that the Lord wants to invite you back to a place of connection with him. To recapture this sense of wonder, mystery. Maybe it's returning back to what you did at first in your relationship with God. You know, as we sang those songs this morning, I was taken back like 20 years ago in some of those songs. And I was remembering moments at, you know, Trinity Western University, moments early in ministry, moments where God marked me in meetings and gatherings and services and prayer meetings. And God did something in me deep. And I remember that the beginning stages of my relationship with God, and I had this incredible sense of wonder, this incredible excitement. And I believe this morning the Lord is saying, come back to that place. Come back to that place of wonder. As we worship together, I want to pray for you first, but then as we worship, I want you to just turn toward him in your heart and in your affection. Father, I pray in this moment, in this time and space, that as we turn to you, Lord, as we move from drifting to following, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would move in people's hearts. Maybe remind us of how far you've brought us. Remind us of the things we did at first. Show us areas of callousness. Show us areas of our own seared conscience in certain areas, and cut those wide open, Lord. Areas that just don't affect us anymore, that should. And I pray as we come back to the heart of worship, you would do a work in our hearts, Lord, this morning. Do a work in us, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and let's worship together in church.